All right, everyone. Good morning. Welcome into Morning Invest on this Friday, January 21st. Good to see all of you. Coming up on today's show, some grim warnings from some market watchers who have accurately predicted market crashes in the past. We're going to tell you what Jeremy Grantham said this morning about that we're already in a market crash, and he expects to see a 50% retreat in stocks. This is very troubling for the markets. We'll talk about that coming up on the show.
All right. And the housing bubble, the numbers are in for 2021. And basically everyone is paying more for housing, buyers and renters. And we're going to break that down because that, my friends, is what you call a bubble, whether you like that word or not.
And through a Freedom of Information Act request in England, we now have COVID death numbers, accurate COVID death numbers from England. And this hasn't been reported anywhere in the mainstream media. Hat tip to Dr. John Campbell for going through this data. We're going to break it down for you. I'm going to wager to say when you see this story a little bit later in the show, your jaw will drop about these death numbers. You are not going to be able to sit still once we bring you these numbers. All of that and more as Morning Invest starts on this Friday morning.
Well, you don't have to sit still while you watch this show. We appreciate you if you keep us on in the background, but you can chat with us if you are a channel member. If you go to morninginvest.com/join, you join for less than a cup of coffee every month. And we appreciate your input during the show and during the chat in the pre-show.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, we have a daily newsletter. If you go to morninginvest.com, you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You'll get it delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. And hey, I send it to you. So it comes from my email address, clayton@morninginvest.com. Just hit me back. Let me know that you signed up. If you're new here to the channel and you don't realize what we do, we cover the news that mainstream media arguably ignores, won't cover because we have no agenda. We are not bought and sold by billionaires like CNN, MSNBC, Fox, all of those big stations, of course, have billionaires running the show, and we do not. So we get to cover the things that we want to.
Yes, and the things that might make you smile, like the high-heeled croc, which we led with today, a $600
did you guys get your newsletter?
With a high heel. It's very perplexing because, you know, they say crocs are not good for your feet. So are they? I don't think that makes any improvement at all to put a stiletto on that.
I don't get it.
If they aren't that good, though, then how come so many nurses wear them?
I really don't know. I'm not up on the croc. Look at this, you guys.
Like who would wear this thing? Gosh.
This is a hard no. I'm not going to put a poll up in the chat. We must agree that this is a no.
I mean, it looks ridiculous.
It looks like somebody just, hey, you know what we could do? Let's just glue a doorstop.
A nail underneath it. Yes.
Yeah. Let's glue a peg to this thing.
You know, because high heels hurt. So maybe this makes it hurt less.
Maybe nurses, and maybe if there's any nurses watching, can let us know why they wear Crocs. Because from what I understood, no, they are real. They are real. People like Mr. Just Francis saying, is that real? Yes, it's real.
You absolutely can order them and let us know what happens.
But I'm just curious from a nurse's perspective, like what's the deal with a Croc? Because, you know, is it because you're in the hospital and they're easy to clean? Maybe because
perhaps,
like sanitary wise, they don't absorb germs maybe the same way, because I know they're not good for your knees and hips and everything, right? Don't they say
that's
they're
the
bad?
Word on the street, but I've done no research on it.
That's the word on the croc street.
Yeah.
Marie said right here, I work in healthcare. This is not good for your spine and hips.
Oh, well, yeah.
The heel or the heelless croc.
Yeah, because the heelless croc, it's a croc of crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody said, Arlene said those designers were doing more than drinking.
Yes.
Your Imperial Majesty. Oh, yeah, we feature the TV journalist hit by the small pickup truck from the Philadelphia area. Yeah, we feature that in the newsletter this morning. Did you guys see that video? That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So anyway, go to your newsletter after the show and click on the different links we were talking about here. But we've got news to get to this morning here that's not in the newsletter necessarily in some ways. But we're going to dive deeper into the coming market crash. So this is really troubling from Jeremy Grantham. Sorry, I got all these little things popping up on my screen here. Jeremy Grantham doubling down yesterday on what he says is a crash. He says we're already in it. He says the sell-off has started. He is the GMO co-founder. He says he predicts that a drop of almost 50% in the S&P 500. Just, I want you to think about that for a second, guys. Like, this isn't a guy who is given to hyperbole, mm-hmm. right? He is the head of a company. He's saying that the sell-off has already started. He says investors are favoring overseas value stocks. And he says cash right now is king. He's saying commodities. He's saying gold stocks right now. But be very, very careful about what's unfolding in the market. Listen to what he has to say specifically about this crash.
The trend line, being slightly generous, is 2,500. And most of the great bubbles, the super bubbles, go below trend and stay there for quite a while. In the Greenspan era, that tendency stopped. In 2000, yes, the NASDAQ came down 82%, which was fairly brutal. Amazon came down 92%. But the Federal Reserve raced to the rescue so loudly and strongly that they stopped the decline in the S&P at trend line. It only declined 50%. 50% is a hell of a big decline, but it was only enough to get it back then to trend. This time, trend is at most 2,500.
Wow.
And I would expect, even if the Federal Reserve tries to do the same, it will be hard to prevent the market from declining to that level.
Now, Jerome Powell had said, we are going to stop stimulating the economy with low interest rates and quantitative easing. And when that happens, we're going to do this in a way that should not disrupt the stock market. But this, or the way they put it, was business, right? Mm-hmm. But what they meant is we don't want the stock market to crash because we all are vested interest in keeping it high, artificially or otherwise, right? So they warned us about this, but that doesn't mean that those things won't happen. So it's like they were kind of trying to like delicately put down an egg, you know? Mm-hmm. It's okay, don't crash. We're going to just like stop our perversion of market forces and you stay right there and go up. Well, of course, that couldn't happen, right? And so this is happening all over Europe, UK, when governments are saying we can't keep holding up something like this, then the entire market is going to correct. So should we panic? I don't know. It's not going to feel good. No one's going to be excited about it, but we've known, right? So none of us should like pretend we didn't know.
Panic selling is always the worst thing to do, right? But when you are exposed in some of these S&P 500 stocks, I mean, many of you have a 401k plan. I mean, just let me know here in the chat, you know, how many of you have some sort of a retirement plan that's invested in some of these S&P 500 companies. I mean, what he's talking about specifically is a major pullback, 50%. If you can stomach that, okay. Is it going to bounce back? I guess eventually, we don't know. But what he says here is that this is the fourth time. This would be basically like the fourth time in history that this happens and could be worse, he says, than what we saw in previous downturns. He said this involves the S&P 500 dropping 45% from Wednesday's close, 45% and 48% from its peak back in January, where we were hitting records to a level of 2,500. So, and NASDAQ is already down 8.3%. And now we're getting word, of course, that the Federal Reserve, what are they going to do about this? Can they step in? Front page today of the news headlines today is on what the Federal Reserve could do. Could they take the dollar to the next step and are possibly launching a digital dollar? So this is a big deal. The Federal Reserve taking the next step in weighing whether to launch a U.S. digital currency, issuing a report on Thursday that explores the potential benefits and drawbacks of such a move that would indicate where it will land. And so I have a lot of questions about this, right? So the Federal Reserve is going to roll out their own digital currency. Where does that leave the dollar, the treasury-backed dollar?
Well, they certainly wouldn't collect paper money in order to exchange it, right? Because, and the problem—
I love how you just said they certainly wouldn't do that.
Well, of course they wouldn't, because this gives them the opportunity to create more money. So they don't want to replace any money. They want to create money,
right?
Artificially, right? And the problem is that governments already have the ability to create money, and this would give them more. It's very troubling to think about, right?
Yeah.
That's all. That's the end of that sentence. Okay, it's your turn. You go.
All right. I don't know if there's an end to that sentence. Because you kind of left it with like not, you know, like a period or a question mark.
It was It was not declarative enough for
it
you.
It was almost like a hyphen.
Okay. Like,
is there more to this hyphen?
Do you want to use, here, we'll use the talking stick. Here's the talking stick.
Okay.
Now you talk. This is a lint brush.
So... I don't think it's going to be, you know, here's my problem with the federal digital currency question, right? They're throwing it out there. And I love that the Fed was just really floating this idea in this white paper, this idea that, hey, you know, we're just checking in. We want to see right now if there's something we can do to help. And the reason we want to do this is because we want to have clear support from each branch of Congress on this question. You had a Minnesota congressman 2 weeks ago, I think Timothy Emmer, releasing legislation saying, No, we do not want the Federal Reserve to have the power of their own currency.
They already do.
Do they? I mean, the Federal Reserve doesn't have its own currency yet. They can artificially decide to print money, but they don't have their own currency.
Right.
The Federal Reserve is not elected. This is, I mean, you have so many people that want to end the Fed. They don't get elected. They are extracurricular.
Just out of curiosity, when they, so now they're at the point, and this, I heard somebody say this, that they just go into the computer and add a few more zeros. Are they actually printing the money at this point?
No,
or are they
No.
Okay.
No.
In fact, you know, there's a great sort of background episode of the Wealthability podcast, which I know I talk about a lot, but I got a lot of my financial education there. It's wealthability.com, and listen to podcast 101 with Dr. Murray Saverin. And he talks about how during the pandemic, the federal government created $4 trillion out of thin air in order to put all of these stimulus in place, right? And then continued to do stimulating things to the market, such as drop interest rates and do quantitative easing. And so he talks about how we all, because our social contract is to live in this society where we have a Federal Reserve that will keep doing this, right? We choose to live here. The Federal Reserve is going to keep doing this. It will create these conditions regularly for the rest of our lives as long as we live under this condition. So it's up to us then not to just yell at them or say we want it different, but really plan our lives around these cycles. And he's got great ways to do it depending on your business. Because we can't sit here and be like, oh my God, that's happening. We have to know, right? We should not be surprised that this natural market forces react to market perversions.
So let's just ask, that's a great point. I mean, let's just ask the question then, you know, when we look at this, I mean, we sit here and we look at what Jeremy Grantham is saying, that we are already in a sell-off.
Yes.
So we are already facing a 50% correction based on his analytics. And he's been accurate before in these bubbles. He says we're in a super bubble.
Yeah.
Okay. What do we do? How do we, he specifically says, making sure that we do not have our money tied to these types of stocks right now, making sure that we have our money inside of cash, gold, commodities, actual tangible items. I would say real estate, right? Arguably, we saw the crypto market tank overnight as well. Bitcoin down to a new 5-month low. Ethereum also down to a new multi-month low. Look at the crypto charts today.
Yes. Right?
I mean, look at this. Bitcoin down 12% in 9% in 24 hours. Ethereum down 12% in 24 hours. And so putting this money to sort of hold for legacy wealth purposes in your portfolio is probably not the best thing in the world right now to make sure your money is tied to this.
Right.
I get speculation. You want to play speculative? I'm all for day trading. You want to make some quick money buying the dip on Ethereum and thinking it's going to go up to 3,500 next week or in a few weeks. Great. All on you. But as far as putting your family's future into that.
Well, okay. Let's just sort of break it down. Oh, that's not very good.
Here, give me this.
Let's see. No, look.
Okay.
You don't sell here.
Okay. You can't see that at all. Hold on. Give it. You got to tell me when you're going to do this.
Sorry.
Here, take that back.
Okay. This is sort of it. So people in the chat are like, oh, you know, should we sell right now? If we're in this dip right now, right? And by most estimates, the economy will recover to some form or fashion, but you don't sell on the downside, right? You don't sell on the dip. That's sort of economics 101. But it doesn't feel good when you don't know the bottom, right? You want to recreate this beautiful chart?
Well, okay. I mean, yes. So here we go, right? So I mean, yes, what we're saying is,
like, this is not where you sell, right? And so you have to have the stomach for it. You have to have had the stomach for it before you made these purchases, right?
You do not want to sell here, okay? Yes, in a dip, right? You hope that you're buying, you know, if you're in some of these speculative stocks, you hope that you're selling here or at least close to the top as possible.
Or we hope that you had a stop loss order here, right?
Right. This is great.
I know.
Technical analysis.
This is beautiful. This is like...
This is like what Wall Street bankers do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
David's learning so much. I don't know if David... I think David went back to sleep.
No, I'm glued.
Okay.
So again... I don't know. The question about the U.S. currency going into the Fed's hands, make no mistake about it, right? It's not going to be finite like Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. 21 million in Bitcoin. Okay, that's all that Bitcoin will ever be minted is 21 million Bitcoin. That's it. It's a finite amount.
Yes.
It's decentralized. It's not tied to any government currency. It's not tied to any government central bank. The Federal Reserve creates their own digital currency. There's going to be an infinite amount of it. It will not be finite, and it'll be highly trackable. They'll know exactly who got what. So make no mistake about it. In my mind, it's about surveillance. It's about keeping a watchful eye on everybody who gets this currency. And I think, make no mistake about it, they are going to start to replace. They're not going to want paper currency. They're going to want to, we're already moving away from a cash-based society anyway. We're moving cashless. So this is just one more step.
Oh, I don't think, though, they're at all interested in shrinking the size of the economy and replacing dollar for dollar. I think they're more interested in creating more dollars. Like, that's a great way to just expand. The problem is that so many economists say that because of the massive amount of stimulus we did in 2008, 2009, we still have not seen the economic fallout from that government spending, which was considerable and coming for all of us, right? And it has been for a long time. So you can sort of keep yourself, it's like keeping yourself awake with caffeine or cocaine or whatever. Like, eventually you're going to hit a wall.
But what is,
and so,
what is the difference between that and what they're doing now? If they're not actually printing the dollars, then it's already digital.
Well, it's because of the idea of fractional reserve, because every dollar that someone deposit, they can create, well, it used to be 90%, but during the pandemic, they switched it to 100. So they can take your dollar and lend out a dollar. And then with that dollar, they lend out more dollars because someone puts that in another bank. So you think of it as like, it's like a stepping stool. So I put a dollar in Clayton's bank. Clayton lends out two, he has my dollar and lends out another dollar that was created, right? Because he doesn't have to keep it. Someone else puts that in another bank and that gets lent out and lent out and lent out and lent out. So many steps that most of it doesn't exist. It was only ever my original dollar that existed. So it's if you read up on fractional reserve, then you'll understand how money is just straight created.
So to reiterate, Jeremy Grantham, fund manager, says we are in a stock super bubble. It's going to pop very, very soon. And this, by the way, echoes what Harry Dent has been saying, that we are in one of the largest bubbles in world history. China is in the ultimate bubble pattern right now. He sees the S&P 500 plunging 45%. Again, if your exposure in these stocks, I mean, let me just go through the S&P, right? Look at the S&P today, down almost 20%. Look at that. Right. You look at some of the, you know, look at where the S&P is, right? What are some of the stocks in the S&P 500? If you're, if you're investing, if your 401k, your retirement, your IRA is tied to those types of stocks, be very, very careful. Be very, very careful. And think about where you can reposition your family's money, whether it's into cash, even if it's just having some cash on hand, as he points out, making sure some of that cash, even though the US dollar is not worth very much and it's declining. I don't necessarily agree with him on that point, but having at least some cash on hand in order to be able to pounce on some of these other investments as they up, or putting money into gold to protect yourself, silver, real estate, other commodities, to keep yourself safe.
I mean, look, wealth is created during any down economy. Plenty of people got wealthy on the 2008, 2009 crash. So now it's up to you to decide, you know, what kind of sucker you're going to be,
right?
Because we are all a part of this social contract, knowing the government will do this. And we have to sort of bob and weave in an educated way, which brings me to our. Oh, go ahead. What is the sad thing? Really,
sorry, that was a good segue and I just completely blew it.
That's okay. I want to hear what the sad thing is.
Well, the sad thing is, like, when we talk about this, and there's not a lot of people that can just go invest in gold and silver, you know, so you're completely, and they know this, that a majority of people are completely dependent on them for this.
Yes.
This money.
Right. It's a surveillance state apparatus.
Yeah.
It's a control apparatus.
Right. And so we hear this all the time, like invest in gold and invest in this stuff. But there's so many people that just can't do that. It's just not a viable option. So what do you tell those people?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, well, here's the thing. I think people think that they can't invest in gold and silver, and you don't have to buy boatloads of gold. I mean, if you have $100 in a savings account, think about, well, could I take that $100 and convert that to something that's sustained for 4,000 years, like silver, gold, or real estate? You know, is there a way for me to put some of that, at least getting a gold coin, right? Or taking it out of this fluctuating inflationary US dollar and putting it into an asset class like gold? I mean, signs are already pointing to a 20% surge in gold in 2022. So,
but then let's say the economy crashes and the dollar is no longer good. How do you then spend that gold? Like, you can't take a gold coin to the grocery store and say, hey, I only want to spend a quarter of this.
Right. And that's, I mean, we could get into all sorts of ways in which that's why cryptocurrency, that's why the blockchain is so powerful. I mean, there are all sorts of ways that wealthy people never use their own money. Of course, they're using loans against their assets, right? So imagine having $20,000 in gold in a reserve or in a secure bank somewhere, whether it's Switzerland or Singapore, there's other places, and you can open it with like $100. You don't need to be like a wealthy guy with a yacht to do this, right? You can do this very minimally. You know, people don't know about it because these stories are not taught to you. They are kept from you. The elites, Wall Street, the big bank, they don't want you to know about this. And that's what I hope our show does, is to help empower you to learn this. You can do it for very minimal amount of money, and you can create loans for yourself against those assets that are held in that bank. So
you can be taking a step every day in towards something. And in fact, I'm going to get to the ad in a second for how I think you could do that. But yesterday, for instance, in the pre-show, we were talking about how few of you have a passport, right? So if there were opportunities somewhere else, or if, heaven forbid, the American economy collapses, can you move over borders? Can you then, right? What are your choices? And every single day you can be taking one step, either finding one thing that you want to do better with in your asset, or finding one liability you want to pay down, or getting your passport, going to apply for that, opening an account with something that you don't have very much in, but you intend to build it. Every single day, you can take some kind of step.
Small.
To some small step to build your family wealth.
And I will tell you, one thing you can do right now, and this is totally free. So Natalie and I built this. It's totally free, totally free, totally free. This isn't like, hey, take this, get this free thing, and then also you're going to have to buy a car on top of it. No, no,
yes.
No. Natalie and I built this, spent a lot of time building this. It's totally free. We don't talk about it enough here on the show. If you go to morninginvest.com/bootcamp, it's a 90-day financial empowerment bootcamp, and it's a free download, and it'll take you through week by week by week in order to help you get your financial house in order with little steps, little incremental steps.
Our belief is that you cannot just bob and weave based on whatever the market does or the government does or the economy does. You have to run your family wealth like a business if you have an idea towards wealth for all of you, whoever lives with you, whoever you're a team with, right? Whoever's in your corner. I believe that your family business should be run with the same business skills that you put into your career. So goal setting, growth mindset, allocating tasks to one another, team building. And this is exactly what we teach you to do, is figure out what it is you've got to work with right now and do better with just one thing at a time, whether it be the assets you have or the liabilities you have. So what is the liabilities? Your house payment, your car payment. Learn to do better so that you are not living by those bills, right? Just one thing at a time is how you build. And that's exactly how we learned the hard way when we came on hardship is that we have to be in charge of this. We can't just wait for someone to hire us or the government to, you know, do things that will increase our stock-based accounts. You have to be in charge. And so that's why we wrote this. I really hope you download it by going to, what is the URL again?
It's right on the screen. Morninginvest.com/bootcamp. Just go and grab it for free. Again, it's totally free. It's a PDF download. It'll take you through week by week by week in this 90 days. It's, again, free, free, free. Natalie and I built it. There's no catch. There's nothing. You don't have to go buy a course or anything like that. Nothing like that. It's totally free.
You know, the idea is that so many wealthy people have the right financial advisors. They go around and, you know, good financial education is usually just for wealthy people. And the rest of us are not taught this way. And so we wanted to open up this mindset to people who don't necessarily go out and find the top lawyers and CPAs and advisors.
Unfortunately, they don't teach us in schools. Like, I learned how to balance my checkbook, but we learned nothing about creating any kind of wealth or anything sustainable. It was more about what are you going to do for a job?
Yeah. Yes. And that's exactly what I was taught in school. All I was taught was how to balance a checkbook. I was not taught at all how to build wealth, how to not buy liabilities, instead buy performing assets. We are not taught this.
Yes.
Because that's the way our whole system is set up to keep you from doing this, which is really infuriating. And I had to learn this on my own in my late 20s and early 30s before I started building wealth. And so that's what our goal here on this show is, to, you know, empower you financially, make you global citizens, aware of this, how the government rips you off and how media lies to you and how the whole system is set up and rigged against you. And our goal with this show is to try to break through it and push you in the right direction, at least a little bit.
Yes. Okay.
So let's talk about housing prices.
Yes, because we are talking again about liabilities, right? Your house probably is your biggest one. And guess what? If you owned a house before the pandemic, you got a lot of money in equity because your housing price has gone up 17%. That's across the board. All American homes are now worth on average $50,000 more than they were last year.
That sounds like a great thing, Natalie.
If you actually owned your house and stayed there, it's not a great thing if you are looking for a house. It's not a great thing if you're a buyer, right? And it's, I mean, yeah, it seems like it's fine for a seller, but the seller is going to go buy another house that's $50,000 more expensive as well. This is absolutely what you call a bubble when prices continue to rise and incomes do not rise in a commensurate way. Commensurate is the word, commensurate way. The same thing happened with average rent throughout the United States. Rents are up 18%. Do you think renters have 18% income increase? No. And also you have to take into account that inflation is over 7%. So your income to keep up with all of this would have had to have gone up 18% for rent plus another 7% for goods and services. I don't think that happened to the average person. Although, interestingly enough, we have in the news by the numbers section in the newsletter that some Wharton Business School students were surveyed to say, what do you think the average American salary is? And these fools answered all six digits, right? All they think that the average American makes six figures.
No, it was 800,000.
That was one response. Oh. One person said he thinks I don't know if it was a he or she. I'm going to assume it's a he. I mean, what woman would say that? I don't know. Okay, but I know.
Right.
Well, I take that back.
So when I make fun of women drivers, you give me the stink eye.
Okay, this person said that they thought the average income was $800,000. It is not. It's actually closer to about between 30 and 50, depending who you ask. So
yeah, $40,000. We just did this. We did the story earlier in the week about the average income in the United States.
Yes.
71% of Americans have an average income of about $40,000. So the Wharton School of Business down there in Philadelphia,
they're
my
really
home city,
training good businessmen and
so
women.
The average, they think that it's 800,000. Again, so
well,
home
maybe
prices.
They're only talking about Wall Street.
Maybe.
Perhaps. Even maybe. Lobbyists don't make that,
even the first year bankers, second year bankers in Wall Street don't make anywhere nearly that kind of money. I mean, and you're living in Manhattan making $125,000 a year and they're having to like sleep on a floor because they can't afford stuff. Anyway, home prices, 16.9%. It's the highest on record and continuing to climb. And look, you know, millennials cannot find a home. So millennials are out. Boomers are actually able to actually afford getting their homes. And the reason is they've been able to establish credit.
Yeah.
So at least they have some credit they've been able to establish. And the millennials don't have that history of credit, and they don't have as much of a down payment. So they're getting screwed, and they're forced to rent, of course. So they're being pushed into the rental market, and rents are skyrocketing on top of that.
So, I mean, there are people who would have benefited from this. Anybody who was able to get a loan on this increased equity and did not move, sure, did great, right? Anybody who was able to actually use the equity that was created but not go buy a more expensive thing, sure. But everyone else, like, no one's actually cashing in on that equity if they're going to buy and sell or sell and buy.
Look at the EU. I mean, look at house prices. It's all across, I mean, it's everywhere.
Yes. So,
and you talk about a bubble right now. I mean, house prices in the EU, and look at rents just continuing to climb. But housing prices skyrocketing.
So
do you have a chart? Sorry. Do you have a chart to compare this to 2008 to see the parallels?
I don't have a chart handy.
But like, do you know how similar it was? Was it the very exact same thing? Are we seeing?
You know, I happen to know because I used to be licensed. I used to have a real estate license in New Jersey, that in some places in New Jersey during the right before the bubble burst, prices were going up something like 50% a year. In some places. Now, New Jersey is an outlier, because it is the most dense state in the country. But
let's
talk
about the differences here. Let's talk. This is an important distinction that David raises here about 2007, 2008. Then anyone could get a mortgage. If you
had a pulse.
If you had a pulse, and in some cases, if you didn't have a pulse, you could get a mortgage. I mean, they had ninja loans, right? Ninja stood for no income, no job. You could get a loan. No income, no job, you could get a loan. You had people coming from Honduras to do just day labor jobs. And while they were here, they're like, instead of renting, I'm just going to get a mortgage and buy a house. And they would. They didn't even have citizenship. They didn't even have a job that could prove that they were here long term. They didn't have like 5 years of a job experience. The banks didn't care, right? And by the way, no one went to jail in the United States. None of the big banks went to jail for this mess that they got us into. Nevertheless, people could get a house, ridiculous amounts. Prices were going up. They could sell it a week later and make $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 in profit a week later. That's different than 2022. It's very difficult to get a mortgage in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
You have to show history of income. The banks are not just willing to give out loans to people unless you have a job, unless you have a history of salary. You have a good credit score. You don't have a history of default. You don't have a bankruptcy. There's a lot of stuff. It makes it very, very difficult to get a mortgage in 2022. So we are in a totally different bubble right now as it relates to this economy.
Well, right. And the head of the National Association of Realtors says this is not the same because it's a supply issue, because it's just simply that there are not enough houses for people who want them. It is not it's not due to inflated values and shoddy lending. It's just simply like too many people want this house, so the price gets bid up, right? In fact, yesterday in the newsletter, there was a $2 million house in San Francisco that was completely dilapidated, should have been condemned, and it was bought for $2 million, although it did have a parking space.
Oh, good.
So that alone in San Francisco is...
But it really comes down to supply and demand. It's not like it was back in 2008 where, you know, anyone with a pulse could get a mortgage. It really is about supply and demand this time. We don't have enough homes.
Do you think that that's why the BlackRock and stuff are buying it up to falsely make the market like more saturated? So they're like buying them so that they're not available so that the prices go up.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's not, they're in a business, right? And we heard from the BlackRock CEO on this particular issue, Michael, I forget his last name off the top of my head. He said this and it was leaked audio, and he said this in front of shareholders, and he said specifically, we're sitting on billions of dollars waiting for these foreclosures to happen. One of you wrote me just yesterday in our chat, left a comment on one of our videos, and I forgive me if I don't have that in front of me, and I don't remember your name, might have been John, sending me a message on one of our videos, just left a comment saying, yeah, there's foreclosures happening all around us in my neighborhood. And I said, can you tell me where? And I've got to check back in on that message. But foreclosures up, BlackRock swooping in, buying up one out of every seven homes right now. And these big hedge funds are going to be, you know, turning this nation into a nation of renters, and that, and they're going to make money off of it.
Yeah.
And it's not illegal.
They're not turning around and just holding them just to falsely inflate the market.
No. They want them to either renovate them, place tenants in them as part of their portfolio. I mean, this is what they're doing. One out of every seven homes sold in the last year went to these hedge funds.
And you think about that, what that does to your balance sheet, right? You buy something that's worth a whole lot more. Your balance sheet swells, as does your ability to then buy more things when you actually have paid a discount price considerably.
Yeah.
It's just the same old story. It's all right for some. It's interesting, the cities that saw the fastest rent increase were New York City. Obviously, rents always are high in New York. But it was interesting because during the pandemic, people were moving out like crazy and rents went down. So it's good for you if you secured a cheap apartment during those times. Those deals are available no more. Tampa, also interesting. Why?
The what?
Is one of the highest rents in the country is in Tampa, Florida. Why so many renters in Tampa?
That's interesting.
And the slowest increases were in Minneapolis and Oakland, California.
And I could say on Tampa, during the 2008-2009 collapse, Tampa had, I mean, a flood of hedge funds that came in and just bought up all of these properties in Tampa. Mm. And they were managing these properties as a property manager from their offices in Chicago. That always is going to go well. Right. Hey, I have a leaky toilet. Yeah. Call our Chicago office to help you with your leaky toilet. That's going to be good. And so they bought up tons of property in Tampa specifically. What's the solution here? The solution is to build more homes. We have an affordable housing crisis in the United States. And, you know, we're not moving quickly enough to do anything on this. I mean, the bottom line is we knew about this. We've known about this for years.
Mm-hmm.
There's been... And the amount of builders who are ramping up to try to, there's not enough. I mean, it's like a drop in the bucket. We need 20 million homes.
Yeah.
And we're nowhere near that. So expect to see prices in this continued lack of supply continuing to drive these prices up, unfortunately. But we'll keep our eye on it because I watch the real estate stuff very, very closely. So we'll report it here on the show.
All right.
Let's talk about woke millionaires.
Sure. A group of over 100 millionaires, mostly in North America and Europe, have penned a letter to be sent to world leaders at the Davos World Economic Forum. They say that, hey, we're millionaires. Our net worth has increased during the pandemic while so many people are hurting. What is the solution? Tax us more. They think that their governments should tax them more heavily. Here's a quote from the letter. I do have the letter in here. It's right there.
This one?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So this is the letter says specifically, restoring trust requires taxing the rich. The world, every country in it, must demand the rich pay their fair share. Tax us the rich and tax us now. If you don't, then all the private talks won't change what's coming. It's taxes or pitchfork. Let's listen to history and choose wisely. Okay, that sounds nice. You'll notice that it wasn't really CEOs of companies that add value to your life. For instance, could you live without Amazon, even if you think Amazon doesn't pay enough taxes? I didn't think so. They're giving us a service, right? No matter how you feel about them. And also, these are citizens of some of the highest taxed nations in the world, with some of the highest defense budgets in the world. So the letter ignores where that money will go, because governments who are wealthy right now do not seem to be sending that money towards low income and needy people, right?
Well, that's sending. What I was going to say. Like, if
right,
it,
so
if
that's
you're
nice.
Give you give that money to the U.S. government? No.
That's what I'm thinking. Right. So, okay. I mean, I saw a signatory here was a person from Denmark. Denmark has almost a 50% tax rate, and you get a lot for it in Denmark. You get a high quality of life, but you want to pay more than 50% on your income? Interesting.
Now let's give it here. Let's give it to the Space Force. Like, that's where your money goes in the United States.
Right. Like, the problem, the thing that bothers me so much about this is that it's not... If you give more power to the powers that be, they do not show that they actually pass that down to needy people, right? So raising tax laws overall, it's not just like, oh, that's nice. It's gonna, you know, affect, like, there are two heiresses to Disney on this list. Yeah, okay, maybe they've got it, right? Go ahead, David.
Well, I was going to say, it'd be more efficient. Like, why don't they start some kind of trust fund and loan it out, like become their own bank and loan it to people who need it rather than not charge them interest? Like, because this country is so backwards. We want to give the most inefficient people all this more money that just completely waste our money. And then when they tell the banks, hey, we're going to give you 0% loans, we want you to loan it out to the people. Well, if they loan it out to people that can't afford to pay it back, they loan it out at 30% interest. You know, and stuff like that. So it'd be better if they would do something privately to help the people that need it the most, because they always end up being the ones that never get anything.
Well, let's go back to this Treasury report we spoke of on the bottom right. This, we spoke about this last week, right? This is a Treasury report released last week. So, you know, if you think you want to give more money so that society gives it is better, right? Where would you put it? Probably at the bottom things, veterans, education, healthcare, right? But that's not really where the U.S. government sends its money.
Right. So you're going to give money, you're going to tax people more, and the money, the fundamental structure of where the money goes is still effed up. Right. So I'm going to, you're going to take my money, you're going to tax wealth, or you're going to tax, you know, Elon Musk more. Then the federal government is going to take that money and it's going to still shove it, instead of giving it into education and healthcare and other areas, it's going to still funnel it to the military.
Yeah.
You know, and right. National defense.
Maddie Flapper in the chat says, maybe those woke millionaires should look up the word philanthropy, right? Like, if you really care about where your money goes, direct it your stinking self. Right. And I think that this idea that we all get crazy about, like, oh, yes, the rich don't pay enough, is a fundamental misunderstanding of taxes. Because the reason we like to click on news articles that say Jeff Bezos only pays 5% of his taxes is, or Amazon, right, is because businesses pay taxes only on their profit. That's it. So Amazon can make $1 billion, but spend $500 million. Right. In order to grow their business, they are only going to pay taxes on the remaining $500 million profit. It does not work like that for private citizens. Private citizens pay tax on every dollar that comes into their.
That's why Warren Buffett famously said that he pays less taxes than his secretary.
And so when these people who like an heiress, right, who says, oh, I just have too much money, the government should tax me more. By promoting that type of ignorance, it will mean that lower income people are taxed more, not necessarily businesses.
Yeah.
And go back to that chart for a second, because look at the national defense. Okay. That's actually like there should be another seven in front of that. $774 billion, right?
Grover's pissed about this, by the way. Yeah.
But look at this. So individual income taxes, okay? So what's coming in is on the left and where it's going is on the right, right? So $253 billion is coming in from us, from the people, from our income, from our work, from our labor, and it's going right over, and the military should be at the very top at $774 billion instead of $74 billion. So if you look at that, we're funding all that stuff, where if you would just turn that around, if you would, the corporate income taxes would move up to be the $253 billion. You lower the taxes on the people and make them pay the $83 billion. You're still getting all the same amount of money you would need on the right hand side, and the people would be like, it would be more advantageous for the people, and it makes more sense that the corporate income taxes should be much higher.
Right. Right.
Yeah, and but then this, you would have trickle down.
But the structure is all screwed up. I mean, the structure is such that we continue to funnel this money into national defense, right? $74 billion in national defense, which is ridiculous because we spend 700. This is, you know, if you think about how much we're spending per year, in national defense, $768 billion in national defense, right?
$768 billion.
I mean, these are the outlays, right? So if the total receipts from the $487 billion that come in from taxes, then $508 billion go out. So we're, you know, this is where individual income taxes, this is where it gets funneled. So we're basically funneling so much more money that we create out of thin air over to the military. Like, this is the money that we get from taxes.
And you know what this also doesn't show? This chart doesn't show how much of the money from our $253 billion goes into subsidies for the people that are making the $83 billion, you know, putting the $83 billion in. So right. It's probably not even that with the subsidies that we're giving them.
Right, right. Well, just, yeah, exactly. So subsidies, particularly thinking about these big companies like, you know, Amazon or Jeff Bezos and Blue Origin, which can then basically get, you know, money from the federal government to build their rockets and do research and development, or thinking about how much money the Fed has propped up with all of these businesses, right, to make sure that they are liquid. Instead of them actually putting that money into research and development or hiring people, what are they doing? They, of course, are buying back their own shares. They're paying out huge golden parachute payments to their corporate overlords.
And that's why it's so dangerous when you see these stories of BlackRock and these people buying all these houses, because the thing is, if we get in a situation where we can't pay our mortgage, we lose our home. But what's going to happen with these BlackRocks and these big hedge funds, if they get into a crisis where it's like they can't make their mortgage payments and they're losing money, we're going to bail them out.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so I think, you know, this idea of this, hey, millionaires are calling for a wealth tax at Davos. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And just look at their name, by the way, the Patriotic Millionaires.
Right.
We are the Patriotic Millionaires, saying that the ultra wealthy were not currently being forced to pay their share of the global economic recovery from the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think there's an argument to be made, right, that these huge companies and pharmaceutical companies made bank off of this pandemic, right? And certainly we saw Pfizer, we saw all of these big companies making just an enormous amount of money off of, we saw the shipping companies, right? Shipping companies are making record profits. We've seen the pharmaceutical companies making
record profits. I mean, what did we show? 500 new billionaires, was it? 500?
Yeah, 500. Yeah. So that's how many now we see. And, you know, again, so yes, there is something to be said for these billionaires, these companies that are making an enormous amount of money. Oops, sorry about that. And Natalie had to go answer the old ring-a-ding. Yeah.
So you just cut to me.
Yeah, sorry, I hit the wrong button.
Walking in.
Hit the wrong button.
Sorry, guys. Glad I'm wearing pants today.
Yeah, it's a rare day.
That's not a foregone conclusion.
So we're just wrapping things up on this point. Okay. Any final thoughts that you want to say about this?
Well, I don't know where you've gone with it, so no.
Well, just the virtue. I have an idea. Just the virtual virtue signaling.
The virtue posturing.
I will say this.
Our word for it.
That chart actually does show that trickle down economics does work, but it's trickling down from us.
Yeah, yeah. And it, where does it trickle to, right?
Right.
Reagan.
And actually, again, I'm quoting Tom Wheelwright all the time, but people who work in taxes know that wealthy people don't actually cheat on their taxes to the same extent that the middle class does. That's just who, you know, who takes the gamble, because wealthy people know they're more likely to be audited. They have more expensive experts. And so this idea,
most people in the middle class are doing it because they have to. I mean, it's like they're struggling.
I'm not saying right or wrong.
Well, yeah,
that's
yeah, yeah.
Just who does it. I'm not. I don't want to moralize it at all. That's just kind of who does that, right? And so, it's a diversion. You're thinking of it wrong when you're like, oh yes, we'll just like go after these wealthy people. It's just it's a simple fundamental misunderstanding of how it actually works.
Yeah. All right, you want to tell us about our sponsor? No, you don't. You want to do that?
I already did the first one. It's your turn, honey.
Oh, okay. Yes. You guys want to get some money? Yes. You guys want to get up to $7,000 in free stock right now? Of course you do. And why wouldn't you? Because, hey, right now as we're seeing a market pullback and you're seeing a tightening of salaries across the globe, wouldn't it make sense to be able to get a little bit of extra money? And the way that you can do that is by going to morninginvest.com/moomoo, which is the trading platform that I love. It's so clean and easy to use. You can download it on your iPhone, your desktop, your PC, your iPad. And just for signing up and opening an account, even just like depositing $1, you're going to get a boatload of free stocks in this account. And it just makes it so easy to learn how to trade. So in this climate right now, you can be paying attention where the stock market is going and saying, okay, Netflix is down 20%. Okay, maybe that's an opportunity for me to pounce on that because Netflix may be slow growth, but that's going to go back up. Started paying attention to some of these stocks and seeing where things are going in the S&P 500 over the next few months. So just sign up and get up to, you can actually get up to $7,000 in free stocks just for opening an account. So go to morninginvest.com/moomoo today. You can download it on your iPhone, your Android device. It doesn't matter. They give you free real-time market data. They have all sorts of great advanced charting tools in there. They have a lot of great resources for you to learn about the market and start to figure out maybe you want to put in money in some gold stocks and just create a better experience. They're creating a better experience for trading. That's what Moomoo does. So anyway, reward yourself today. Go over and check them out. Morninginvest.com/Moomoo. I love this trading platform. Super clean and easy to use. It's about time because all these other trading platforms are just so complicated. So they make it very, 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 very easy to use. All right. Our thanks to them. All right. Let's talk about these COVID death numbers now.
Yes. So we would like to highlight the content of Dr. John Campbell because he released a video over the last 24 hours that highlights specifically the difference between people who died of COVID in the UK in 2021 versus people who died with COVID, and the numbers are actually quite stark. Now, when you look at overall deaths that the government has been reporting of people who had COVID mentioned on their death certificate, meaning they had it, but they actually then died not of it, but with it, it's quite a different thing, right? It's quite a different story.
Imagine that.
Yes. So if you pull up the deaths of people and you actually parse it out by age, you notice there is a stark difference of people who died. Oh, this is, yeah, okay, the total deaths. These are deaths of COVID, right? Whereas the government was reporting in the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, 174,000.
But then when the data was released by the based on a Freedom of Information Act, it showed that the deaths from COVID were much lower than deaths reported overall, right? And if you parse it out by quarter, you see in Q1, the total deaths, again, this is of COVID, not with COVID. These are causal, caused by people who were otherwise healthy, but then died with COVID, was 6,493 in just the first quarter. And then deaths continued to rise. We don't have the full number for Q4 yet because we have only just a few weeks past it. But you see the majority of it, I should have put the percentages here, but the majority of these deaths are people over 65, right? This is not a beautiful chart. Maybe we bring that down. We just made this for our talking points.
This is for our purposes internally. But, you know, if you look at, so if we look at the data from what England was telling us, and by the way, these are UK numbers specifically. So this is UK numbers. Okay. And the only reason we even learned about these specific numbers is because of a Freedom of Information Act request that was done about a month ago. So we actually found out from the government in the UK, who were the people that actually died of COVID specifically with no underlying other conditions, right? They weren't, and they no other comorbidities, and what were their ages? And overwhelmingly, first of all, the numbers are really, really small. I guess that's the number one takeaway here is that these numbers are really small, right? Think about it, in the height of it in 2020, right? 9,000 deaths, right? These are over 64.
When the government reported it was over 100,000.
I'm sorry, over right? 65. Yeah. So what they were saying then was 127,000, right? But when in actuality, it was 7,000.
Right.
Okay. So then when you compare that to, let's look at flu deaths, right?
Now, we don't have 2020 here. I took this from the database of the National Health. Flu deaths were, I mean, it's so when people like to say, oh, it's just like the flu. It's not, right? So when you look at overall 2021, total deaths was close to 8,000. And then you look at flu deaths in 2019, just 2 years before, total flu deaths in the UK were about 1,200. So that is an order, many orders of magnitude worse than the flu, but it is not 100,000 people dying of COVID. It is 100,000 people dying with COVID, much like my father-in-law, right? He died of other causes, but he was diagnosed positive COVID, and we still don't know whether or not the government counted as him as a COVID death or not. It's very possible. He also was 86 years old and in a hospital.
Right. And he went into the hospital without COVID, got COVID while he was in the hospital.
Yes.
So, but this is really amazing to think about these deaths, that what the government had been telling us, 120, well, this is the UK government, 127,000 deaths, 135,000 deaths. When you then remove comorbidities from it and you just specifically look and ask for them to give you the data on people dying specifically of COVID with no other underlying pre-existing conditions when they went in and had this or were specifically categorized as a death from COVID, the numbers are pretty amazing. I mean, actually kind of jaw-dropping if you think about it.
Yes. Well,
and recently the CDC director just said that, the majority of deaths in the United States came with people with four or more comorbidities. Like, she said that just recently.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, and then she's walked it back, and whether or not it was selectively edited by ABC News, it's hard to say whether or not that was specifically how that related. But yeah, over 75%, she says, were with comorbidities, four or more comorbidities.
Now,
but I bet you we'll never see that info here in the U.S., even with a FOIA request.
No, and Dr. Campbell points out in his video, he said, look, no one's really reported this. Have you seen? I haven't seen the BBC report it. I went through the Guardian's website. I didn't see it. The
Daily Mail.
The Daily Mail. I didn't see it reported in any of the major news outlets in the UK. And this Freedom of Information Act request came out a month ago.
It's funny how his personality is so non-alarmist. He's like, this is very shocking data to me. I'm surprised. Yeah. No, but he's not mad about it.
And
he's just like,
he's like,
you take it.
Oh, it looks like, I know it looks like spring outside, but
he's
it's
like, let's look at the birds so we don't all get too upset. And I was like, but I'm already there.
Yeah.
But you know what? What's funny is after this, on the heels of this information, the UK just released all the vaccine passports. They said you can go to work now. You can go outside. Like, they just, and I wonder if it has anything to do with this data.
If they didn't already know.
Well, right. I think maybe, but I also think politics is at play here too. You've got, you've got a situation right now with Boris Johnson, who is hanging on literally by tenterhooks right now. And probably if they have a vote of no confidence, he will be out of a job for his partying during COVID and telling the country not to be partying. So he could be very close to being out of a job. And this is the government basically saying, we know you're all sick of this. Fine. No more restrictions. Just go. And so I think there's some politics involved in this as well. Maybe the data too, and that they're leaning on some of this data to say, all right, it's not as bad as we thought.
Well, it's funny how this lands on us after being told for so long, don't say that it's like the flu. Don't say that it's only for elderly people. Don't say that it's because of comorbidities.
Don't tell people to eat healthier.
Because if you say those things, you're a COVID denier, right?
Right.
But here's the data in black and white that makes all of those things true, whether you believe it or not, whether you want to think the pandemic is still raining down on all of us, ready to kill us all. It doesn't matter anymore when you actually have the data, and it doesn't make you a crazy right wing, MAGA hat wearing the pandemic is not real. Right. And so we like to sort of put people in these boxes, but the data does bear out that, yes, it's worse than the flu, but yes, it also does affect elderly people and people with comorbidities more. And it is less likely than you think to take out a otherwise healthy person.
Well, right. And that, again, also makes the whole argument for the jab fall apart, because they're from kids,
yes, you are
to
right.
a certain age. Five and up. I mean, that narrative completely falls apart with these numbers.
Yes, you are right. And I feel very uncomfortable with you saying that, but I have to hear it because that's true. Right. So, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
But we've been told about this, and again, we've reported these numbers that came out of Johns Hopkins and others. And so, again, what exactly is it? And where are hospitals being incentivized to write certain things on death certificates so that they're getting more money as a result of it, or more federal funding because they have a number of cases in these particular hospitals? And a lot of those questions. And I think this is, you know, only time will tell as we get more of these Freedom of Information Act requests. And look, there's also some interesting reporting, too, that I would like to really have a post-mortem of, like, how did Sweden handle this? Right. A country that said, we're not doing anything.
Yes.
You know, like, what is the post-mortem looking like on that? There's some interesting reporting that's now coming out about how Sweden was like, we're just going to not do anything.
Yes.
Like, how did they end up faring in all of this? And I want to see those post-mortem assessments of this. I don't know that we'll be able to get it within 1 year, but maybe over 5 years, we'll be able to look back on this with some reflection.
Yeah.
Another number that he mentioned that I thought was kind of curious was that the average death age of people from COVID was 82 and a half years old, right? And he said,
yes,
the average lifespan was actually higher than the average lifespan, which was 79 in men and 84, I believe, in women. So,
wow, that went over my head.
Yeah. Wait, say that stat again.
The average age of people who passed away from COVID was 82 and a half years old. The average lifespan is 79 in men and 84 in women. So it actually was about the same as the average lifespan.
Huh. He also pointed out that in the UK alone, and again, you can extrapolate this data because the numbers seem to be replicated in the United States, that an additional 50,000 people within the next year will die of cancer because, and he, this is conjecture, but he thinks is, that it is due to people not getting scanned for cancer, missing chemotherapy treatments due to pandemic lockdowns, or specifically not trying to get diagnosed as undiagnosed cancers that are too progressed. So that's terrifying because you cannot ignore your otherwise important health appointments, right? Health scans, health screens. Any other, and that is something that will be an unintended consequence. So
right. So we will link up to that video of Dr. John Campbell in the description after our show today, so you can watch that video specifically. We're going to get to your pet photos. We got a lot of pet photos today. You guys sent in a lot of pet photos. If you're new here, if you're just watching for the first time, we do this every Friday. You can email in your pet photos by sending your little furry friends to pets@morninginvest.com is the email address. I get people that email me all the time. They're like, where do I send it? pets@morninginvest.com. It's an email address. It's super simple to remember. It's right there on the screen. pets@morninginvest.com. We got a lot of furry friends we're going to show off.
Ooh, here. I can't wait. A lot of doggies today.
Yeah, but first.
Okay. First, we're going to tell you what's trending right now on the internet so you can participate or tell us what you think. Peloton is trending because the company is having a terrible sell-off of the stock because they have announced that they are, do you see the Peloton? There we go. They have announced that they are pausing production of their equipment due to low demand. At this time last year, you had to wait months to get a bike or a tread delivered. But now they're saying we're making them and people don't want them. I guess people bought too many during the pandemic. And so now they're really focusing on themselves as an app, as on-demand workouts that you don't need equipment for.
Good luck.
And they've had quite the slide. You know, the Peloton was the belle of the ball during the pandemic because it was like, oh, we all got to work out at home. Okay, let's set up our home gym. And now people are like, no, I don't want to do that.
You know, I heard an interesting analyst on this who, you know, big hedge fund manager. He was saying, look, I don't think the company is that good. He's like, it's a good company. He said, but as far as the valuation of like it being a $10 billion or was it $24 billion? He's like, uh-huh. I just don't see it. I just don't see it as a company. He's like, because really a $39 per month video subscription as a thing to sustain you as a $24 billion company is just not there from a valuation perspective. So he thought it was overinflated to begin with. Maybe it's just coming back down to earth. It's not like Netflix. You know, he was drawing the comparison between Netflix, which also plummeted on news of their slowing subscriber growth. You know, he's like Netflix is a amazing company, huge company. And just because it's slowing in subscriber growth is not something for you to throw in the towel on Netflix. But compared to Peloton, different animal, I guess.
I suppose. I like Peloton. I do a class every day, different types of classes, but I've been on the platform for 5 years now.
So you're kind of bought
and,
in.
Yeah, I'm
and
bought
Joe
in.
Joe Biden has actually liked.
Yeah, I've had high fives from Joe Biden. I'm not a fair weather fan, but I do feel like the tone of Peloton, it like.
What's the tone?
It's, you know.
No, I don't.
Like, they all act like you can. It's like you're taking classes from people in their 20s and 30s, acting like you also live a urban New York City life. You don't have a car and you're dating. Like, they, you know, it's like, I don't really want to hang out with these people, but I think that there are some talented trainers on there that I like. And like Cody Rigsby on Dancing with the Stars, like they were sort of acting like they were Brad Pitt in the world, you know, for a while. And I think maybe that can be a bit off-putting. This is my conjecture. I don't know. Because sometimes I'm like, well, you just shut up and just lead the
I don't think it's that esoteric. I think it comes down to people don't want to spend $2,000 for a bike plus $39 a month for a class. And, you know, times are tough. And I just don't think that this company, I don't know, $39 for a monthly subscription so people can yell at me is not.
I suppose. I think that in and itself is fine. But like the equipment sales are down. Like maybe they just sold as many, you know, like they saturated that market. And that's
right. How many of these? You know, it's not like you're buying one of these every year.
You have one. I've had it for 5 years. You know, my mom and sister use it. It's like, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway. Maybe the like tone of it and how it strikes me as a middle-aged lady is not relevant. That's just what I had to share.
Yeah, Ula Hula says YouTube has spin classes for free.
They yeah. do? Yeah.
Richard Blackstone says, I like jogging in nature better than Peloton.
You can do both, though. Peloton has outdoor road.
I
do, too. Road.
I mean, I every day I take Rover on a walk.
Yeah.
Like a 70-minute, like, five-mile walk.
You know, yes.
I'd rather do that than... anyway.
Well, I've seen where you walk, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
So I'd do the same.
I mean, and then he's passed out the rest of the day. It's good.
Yes.
It's good, man.
Yeah. Okay. Mitch McConnell is trending for saying that African Americans show up to vote just as much as Americans. Let's play the clip. Okay.
Well, the concern is misplaced because if you look at the statistics, African-American voters are voting in just as high a percentage as Americans.
I mean, I think that, look, I like to jump on Mitch McConnell's back too, but it's what he meant is, is the turnout for African-American voters is on par with the rest, with all other demographics.
Well, that's a silly question because I think black Americans are just as on point with regular Americans.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is not just, the worst faux pas you can make. We're just, we'd like to pick on him. I mean, right. What do you think?
Like Joe Biden's poor kids did something as much as white kids or whatever he said.
Yeah.
So
he's so in touch. I mean, are we surprised by this at all?
No.
And that, McConnell's a man of the people. You know,
I saw
salt
one,
of the earth.
One response like, oh, thank you for handing Democrats the midterm election by saying that. I'm like, really? That's this big of a faux pas? No.
No,
not
at all. This isn't a basket of deplorables moment.
No.
No.
Absolutely not. Okay. The Smokers Club Festival 2022 is trending because.
This?
No. No, that, this, yeah. This, okay. Because this is a rap show that was announced, the lineup. The show will take place in April in California. This is where you both tell us that you like Steely Dan or you don't know modern bands, and I'm not going to let you do it this time.
I don't know any. I love Steely Dan. Steely Dan.
No, I told you you're not going to talk about
Steely
your
Dan's
old
one
music
of the greatest,
taste.
Greatest so, bands of all time.
Okay.
Is Steely Dan playing this?
No, you guys, it's a rap show.
And besides, only Donald Fagen is still alive. I mean, so.
Well, and are you and no you're more... suggesting that Steely Dan can't rap?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that whenever I tell you two about concert shows, you talk about how you don't know modern bands, and then you start talking about people, bands that were released 40 years ago, and I'm not going to let either of you do that.
I mean, I'm
the
looking at this
band
list.
I recognize on there is Wiz Khalifa.
I was going to say, I don't even recognize that. I mean, I've seen that name before. That's it. Like, I don't, maybe Lupe Fiasco. I've seen that one before.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
It's not for us. No, that's what I'm going to say.
Clearly not for us. But I will go see Earl Sweatshirt.
Earl Sweatshirt. Do you know Adele?
I do.
Okay. Adele is also trending because the singer has had to postpone the opening of her Las Vegas show, and she posted a tearful Instagram about it. Go ahead and play it.
Listen, I'm so sorry, but my show ain't ready. We've tried absolutely everything that we can to put it together in time and for it to be good enough for you, but we've been absolutely destroyed by delivery delays and COVID. Half my crew, half my team are down with COVID, they still are. And it's been impossible to finish the show. And I can't give you what I have right now. And I'm gutted. I'm gutted and I'm sorry it's so last minute. We've been awake for over 30 hours now trying to figure it out. And we've run out of time. And
so she's in Vegas sending this message. So she's there.
And I'm really embarrassed. And I'm
so she's there, like, ready to do the show.
Just give her a microphone. That's all she needs.
Yeah, it's interesting. She says half of her crew has COVID and delivery dates. So when you, like, put on a show and you order from, you know, wherever, pom-poms and costumes and stuff.
But David was a musician, traveling musician. So I'm curious, like, okay, all the stuff being shipped, right? They got to, like, what, send this by truck and semi and all this stuff from city
but
to city.
But you're in Vegas.
It's a sit-down show. Like,
you don't
but she
think
couldn't
that the theater itself has enough equipment that she could grab a microphone and a piano and just do something?
Sure, but she had a vision of how it should be. And, you know, sequins are not coming in from China all that fast. And she says half of her crew is still down with COVID. So, you know, she just continues to cry for about a minute and a half because she feels so bad that people have booked their travel to be the first at her show. And she's like, I can't. I just can't do it.
Well, that's why I would, if it were me, I would. I mean, you're somebody that's got a lot of money. You're in Vegas. There's other bands that are there. Like, hey, Celine, I know you got a show running here. Can I, like, borrow your piano and microphone? Like, she is a great musician. She doesn't need all the glitter and jazz. She could just sit there with one light, a piano, and a microphone and kill it.
Yeah.
Her fans would, but I think she's got a different expectation and vision of her art and how that should look in Las Vegas. So I think that that's a reasonable thing to say.
You're forced to get scrappy again, you know?
Yeah. And she's just so sad that certain people have, like, booked their travel to be. And so they don't even have release dates yet. So you'll have to wait for it.
Carolyn Wheeler in our chat says, this is the fourth time I've asked. What's going on with Social Security stimulus? Carolyn, I don't know. I mean, other than we're still waiting on the cost of living increase checks for $1,400 from the federal government, but those are not out yet. So I don't know. They have not given us those COLA $1,400 for seniors. So still waiting on that, finding out from them. So there you go.
Yeah. Lego Star Wars, The Skywalker Saga is trending because finally the upcoming game was given a release date of April 5th. This game has been in development since 2017. We do have some images of it.
A Luke Skywalker Lego game?
The Lego Skywalker game. And actually, I did watch the trailer. You can play inside of any of the main, any of the nine Star Wars worlds. Like, you know, the three prequels.
Tatooine.
The three middle movies. I don't know how to refer to these. And then the three that we have now that with, you know, Rey and Daisy. Yeah, all of those. So anyhow, it's a console game and a download, and I'm sure my kids will love it. Released April 5th. Single Drunk Female is trending because the new show premiered on Hulu yesterday and people seem to like it. It stars Sophia Black Delia as the single drunk female. And Ally Sheedy, you know her and love her from The Breakfast Club, is her mother. Yeah.
No.
Number Short five circuit. Is alive. Yes, exactly right. Yeah. Let's see. Go forward to the freeze frame with Ally Sheedy.
I want to see her because I bet she's still gorgeous.
Yes, Ally Sheedy. Yeah, you missed it.
I know. That was an ugly freeze frame.
It is an ugly freeze frame. But anyway, yeah, I'm inclined to watch it because Ali Sheedy is in it. But also, it does seem like, at first I thought, oh, it's a show about a drunk girl in her 20s. I don't want to watch that. But actually, it's a show about sobriety, which I might be interested in seeing how they touch on this. So we'll see. I'm not going to launch into our non-drinking conversation again. We did that in the pre-show, but I appreciated all the comments. And if you like that, let me know.
Don't forget to please go grab your 90-day financial freedom boot camp as well.
Please do.
It is totally free. I want all of you to be empowered financially. Take action. Again, it's free, free, free. How do you spell free? F-R-E-E. This is free. There is no course. There's nothing for else. You don't have to buy anything. We spent a lot of time putting this together. Our whole team, we actually had to format it and everything else. So anyway, go to morninginvest.com/bootcamp. It's a download. It's like a PDF download. It'll take you through week by week by week how to build financial empowerment. We teach you about performing assets and liabilities, and it's a whole process we take you through. Real empowering.
MCAT said he sent in kitties that he hadn't seen. We will seek them out. Please send them again if we didn't, and we will collect them for next week.
Yeah, because our folder was updated today. So I let me just
they
double check.
They might have sent them today. Like if they sent them today, we won't like in the morning.
Yeah, if you just sent them in today, like our my assistant has already put them together for. Although let me just check. What was last week?
Last week was the 14th, but we weren't here.
Right.
On the 14th. So we did not do pet photos.
But we carried them over, right?
Yes, we should have.
Yeah, they were carried over. Let me just double check here.
While you're looking for those, David, did you set aside super chats for the day?
I did.
Last Friday?
The 14th.
Week of January 14th. Let me see if any of these. This is the only photo that I have from January 14th is from Chris Johnson, who sent in a photo of his Morning Invest hoodie.
Like it. Love it.
So that's all I see here. Let me just double check again.
Tanya Hunkamara, Clayton, David, Philip, Grimm, Grover, Pizza, and Chat Family Kings and Queens. Happy Aloha Friday.
Aloha to you.
Aloha. Can you say aloha and goodbye? Would you say
yes. Say
aloha?
It's a hello,
it's the same.
And
so
goodbye.
It's just like in Italian. We say ciao.
Yes.
Ciao. Hello. Ciao. Goodbye.
What is mahalo then? Like I thought that was
mahalo is thank you.
Okay. Ben Sis super chat. Check out Hop Tea from Colorado.
Hop.
Oh,
tea.
I think that's a non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah.
That was in the context of. Hop Tea from Colorado. Okay.
David Carrillo, we really do appreciate your $20 super chat, but he starts it out with Clay, Nat, and Dave.
So it's Clayton.
That right, though?
So it's Clayton, Natalie, and David.
Well,
but I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
We're friends here.
It's probably because of you're limited on characters, but
you can call me A-hole. You can call me A-hole if you want.
Yeah.
Thank you for what you guys do. I don't listen to the mainstream media anymore. Have a great weekend, East Los Angeles.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Keeping it real in East LA.
I hope we're doing our job then, replacing your media to keep you informed. We try really hard.
Well, I would love to see the mainstream media cover these COVID death numbers like we covered today on the show. They're not going to. Right?
Yeah. If they do, it's going to be in the very back of some blog somewhere that's really hard to find.
Tammy Diaz says, I tried sending my photo of my fur babies and won't let me send them. Maybe the file size is too big, maybe.
If you can compress it.
So one way to do is go to a website called Pick Resizer, pickresizer.com. Let's see, Pick Resize. There's a couple of these free websites like pickresize.com. You can go Pick Resize, just grab your photo right here or drag it right here. And then you can shrink it down like by 50% or, you know, and then you click edit and then you'll have a new version of it and you can send it to us. Sometimes email clients don't let you send large files. So.
Yes.
And then Jeremy Burt with a super chat, save $10K to play when we were talking about investing and stuff. And then you just read the one from Paul M about expanding the show. The country needs you. So that's all the super chats.
Excellent.
Thank you, thank you.
All right. Well, that's a wrap on this week, you guys. We won't see you over the weekend, but make sure you're subscribed to the newsletter and the show and hit that like button if you please.
I will have a big video coming out on Sunday, so please make sure you're subscribed to the channel. Turn on the bell notification. So again, as I track, different companies that I've been investing in and tracking very, very, very deeply. The one I told you about 2 weeks ago, a gold stock, basically doubled in price. So if you invested in that company, good for you. So you've made a lot of money in that. So I have a video coming out this weekend that I'm working on right now, which I think is going to be a game changer of a play as we head into this weird, crazy market downturn. So make sure you're subscribed to the channel. Watch that on Sunday. We will have that here on the channel for you.
And yeah. I'm sure you probably will also send down a newsletter that day, email with it.
Yes, I will send an email. With that video. Exactly. Good call, David. So if you want, sign up for our newsletter. It's free. And that way you'll get the email so you won't forget about it. Go to morninginvest.com. It's totally free. It'll be delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. We also have, we'll have a news special report this weekend on what's going on in the market. So make sure you're subscribed. Morninginvest.com is how you sign up. It's totally free. And it'll be delivered to your email inbox after you subscribe.
We hope you have a great weekend. What are you up to this weekend, David? Anything you want to share?
Let's see. No, I am actually in the process of working on two video studios for clients. So that's what my weekend's going to consist of. And getting crypto news daily for Clayton set up to record Paranormal Post and stuff like that. So
all right,
stuff coming over there.
Yeah, I've got, I'm super excited about a new Paranormal Post video that I'm working on right now. It's taken me all week. It's taken me a lot of time to put the research together on it. So I'm going to be filming that today. If you're into unexplained stories and mysteries, these are true stories, especially UFO related stories, secret government stuff that they don't want you to know about. Come on over to youtube.com/paranormalpost and subscribe. I've got a bunch of great videos there, but I've got some new videos that are about to be published on the channel, so you don't want to miss those. Our team has been working very, very hard on that. So, and we're building out the new Paranormal Post studio as well. So I'm excited about that. All of those things coming together. All right. Have
I'm
a great
doing
weekend,
a birthday everybody. Bus. Nobody asked, but birthday busing this weekend.
Yeah, that's
what is that?
Taking
mean?
Kids. That's just like you take your one kid to this birthday party and another kid to this one and toot toot.
Do you just sing the wheels on the bus go round and round?
Yeah, you go here, you go here. Take your jumpy socks that have those like sticky things on the bottom. That's what I'm up to.
Yeah.
It's fun.
All right, everyone. Have a great weekend. We will see you back here again mañana. Well, we have a few.
No, days. We won't.
Oh, Monday.
We'll see you on Monday.
Mañana Monday.
Yeah, mañana is not Spanish for Monday, just so you know.